Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. Hey, it's Monday, August 3rd. Joseph Tsai and Clara Wu Tsai, who own the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Liberty, announced their divorce last week after nearly 30 years of marriage. So for anyone who doesn't know, Tsai co-founded Alibaba alongside Jack Ma, which is now one of the largest tech companies in the world. It's basically the Chinese Amazon, if you don't know. And his net worth is estimated somewhere between $9.5 and $12.5 billion. The statement said that the split is amicable and won't affect their ownership of the team. But when I read that, the first thing I wondered was, how does divorce work when you're talking about billions of dollars in assets, sports franchises, and shares in one of the largest tech companies in the world? And that led me to start researching into prenups, which I always assumed were a corporate America invention designed to protect rich men from losing their money in divorce. That assumption is wrong in almost every way. Prenups are actually over 2,000 years old, and they were originally created to protect women. And in the United States, they were actually illegal for most of the country's history, because courts thought that they would encourage people to get divorced. Okay, so let's get into the invented for women part. The earliest known prenuptial agreements come from ancient Egypt, around 465 BC, where women had equal legal and property rights to men, and marital contracts were written on papyrus, which is a plant, to ensure that the wife would be financially provided for if the marriage ended or the husband died. Around the same period, ancient Hebrew law established the ketubah, which translates to, quote-unquote, it is written, and is one of the first legal documents in history that granted financial rights specifically to women within a marriage. The ketubah detailed property division, asset protection, and inheritance rights. It also ensured that a wife inherited her husband's property if he died. It's actually still used in Jewish weddings today. The pattern across ancient cultures was consistent. Prenuptial agreements existed to protect the person with less power in the marriage, which for most of human history was the wife. Dowry agreements in medieval Europe served a similar function, establishing what the wife would retain if the marriage dissolved. The entire concept was actually built around making sure that women weren't left with nothing, which is almost exactly the opposite of how most people think about prenups in 2026, where the popular image is a wealthy man sliding a document across the table to protect his assets from his future wife. The tool that was designed to give women financial security became, in the public imagination, a tool used against them. So how did they start working in America? Well, prenuptial agreements were actually not enforceable in the United States until the 1970s. For most of American legal history, courts viewed prenups as a contrary to public policy because they believed that allowing couples to plan for divorce would actually undermine the institution of marriage and encourage people to leave. The logic was that if you could protect your assets in advance, you'd have less incentive to stay and work things out, and marriage was considered a permanent arrangement that the legal system had an interest in preserving. The turning point came in 1972 with the Florida case called Posner v. Posner, where the Florida Supreme Court ruled that prenuptial agreements were valid, enforceable contracts between two consenting adults. That decision broke the dam, and over the next decade, other states began recognizing prenups as legitimate. In 1983, the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws drafted the Uniform Premarital Agreement Act, which provided a standardized framework for how prenups should be created and enforced. Not every state adopted it exactly, but it established the basic principles that most states follow today. Even now, prenups are far less bulletproof than most people assume. A judge can actually throw one out if it was signed under duress, which includes presenting it to your partner the night before the wedding with no time to review it. A judge can throw it out if one or both parties didn't have independent legal counsel when they signed. A judge can also throw it out if the terms are unconscionable, meaning so one-sided that no reasonable person would have agreed to them voluntarily. A judge can also throw it out if one party didn't fully disclose their assets before signing, because you can't agree to divide something fairly if you don't know what exists. A prenup that looks ironclad on paper can actually fall apart in courts if any of those conditions are met, which actually means that the document is really only as strong as the process that produced it. So now, how does the money actually get split? When a marriage without a prenup ends in divorce, the rules depend almost entirely on which state that you live in, and the differences between states are actually quite dramatic. 9 states, including California, Texas, Washington, and Arizona, use community property rules, which means that virtually everything acquired during the marriage is owned equally by both spouses, regardless of who earned it. If one spouse built a $1 billion company during the marriage while the other stayed home with the children, the company is a community asset and gets split 50-50. This is why Mackenzie Bezos Scott received roughly $38 billion in her divorce from Jeff Bezos. Washington is a community property state. Amazon was built during their marriage, and the law doesn't care who wrote the code or ran the meetings. The asset was created during the partnership, so it belongs to both partners equally. Which, by the way, to be clear, I actually am totally in favor of and I agree with. Just a personal opinion on this, I actually think that's totally fair. I grew up in a house where my dad was working and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And I mean, the amount of stuff that she did for my brother and I was just like incredible that I know my dad absolutely loved and he didn't have the time to do himself. So if that means that if he were to build a very valuable company or something and he had to split those earnings with my mom, like I actually think that's totally fair and I'm sure he would too. The other 41 states use equitable distribution, which sounds like 50-50, but it isn't. Equitable means fair, and a judge decides what's fair based on factors like the length of marriage, each spouse's earning capacity, contributions to household, including non-financial ones like raising children, and the standard of living established during the marriage. The split could be 50-50, 60-40, 70-30, or any other ratio that the judge considers reasonable given the circumstances. And here's the part that surprised me. None of this is gendered. The law doesn't distinguish between husbands and wives. If the woman is a higher earner than the man, then the man can receive alimony, community property, or equitable distribution just the same. The assumption that divorce settlements always flow from the man to the woman is a cultural perception, not a legal reality. It was more often true historically because men were more often the primary earners. But as that dynamic has shifted, the legal outcomes have followed. A woman who earns more than her husband and gets divorced in California will see her assets split by 50-50, the same way that Bezos did. The law follows the money, not the gender. So let's close this thing out. The thing that flipped how I think about prenups is that it was a legal tool invented over 2,000 years ago to protect women from being left with nothing, ended up being perceived as something that rich men use to protect themselves from women. By the way, to be clear, I think the reason I thought it was always like mainly to protect men is because I just see them often in athlete marriages, and most of the highest earning athletes are men. So I think that's what shaped that perception for me. But regardless, the origin and the reputation are almost perfect opposites. And in the US, the whole concept was actually illegal until 52 years ago because the government thought that planning for divorce would make people more likely to get one, which is a strange position for a legal system that also makes divorce readily available. The Tsais are going through their split with billions on the table, and whatever arrangement that they have, the law underneath is a lot less straightforward than most people assume. So stay informed, stay curious, stay married, and we'll see you tomorrow.